Welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth. We are looking ahead to Friday and Saturday. ITV cameras are at Chester, obviously, for the final day of their three-day May meeting. And then we'll head first into Saturday. Before I bring in our esteemed panel, as ever, it's Rory Delargy and Ruby Walsh. A reminder, Paddy's Pick 5 will be available again to play this Saturday. 5 races, 5 winners for free and 50 grand. That's in the pot. So all the Fs. All the nice Fs anyway. So that's Paddy's Pick 5 available to be played. By the time this pod is out, I hope that the races will be announced, but do check the show notes as to how to get involved. If not, just keep an eye on news.paddypair.com. All right, Ruby Walsh, how are you? How's May going for you so far?
May has been quite wet, PK, but sure, hey, it is what it is. No point in complaining. How's it going? Quite busy. Pony Club is back in full swing. So I have spent the majority of this week streaming the cross country course in Punchestown, as my wife is on the Pony Club committee, and they're running a big event this weekend. So I'm pulling my weight.
So just a petrol streamer. That's a lot of streaming.
Not a handheld one. Yeah. How else would you do it?
Well, I've got an entire cross country track. How many?
The jumps, PK. I used the lawnmower for the middle.
Oh, okay, right. I was wondering. I was like, that's a lot
around
of streaming.
The banks, around the jumps, all that kind of stuff.
Streaming's nice, though.
You got it, is it?
Unless you've got a dog.
You don't want to go swimming if you've got a dog.
You put the dogs away while you're doing that, Rory.
It's not the danger to the dog. It's the danger to you of what the dog's done previously.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that is true. Yeah, you want to go around with the you want to go around with the spokes beforehand. But I don't mind streaming, Ruby. It's immediate impact, immediate satisfaction. That's what I kind of like about it. It's like, oh, that was good.
We're finished, PK. I have to go and flag it. So let's go.
Right. Okay, right, fine. Okay, he sees your mind on the job. Rory, how are you?
I'm okay. Okay.
No streaming to be done in London?
No, I've never done any streaming in my life. And, I think, I've got to a stage now where I can say there's no point starting. Really?
Depends on the amount of grass. My lawnmower just kicked in, so I need help. Ruby, you can come up here afterwards. All right, we're going to crack on.
I'm good at it.
Probably can't afford you. Right, we'll go to Friday's racing first. We'll take a quick break and then look ahead to Saturday. So if you're listening to this after Friday's action is finished, just skip forward and we'll get on to the Saturday. Let's start with the 1:30 Chester on Friday afternoon, 7 furlong handicap. And we've seen a few of these, I think, in this race last year. I was certainly looking at the betting. I remember talking about Boardman, who's our 4-1 favourite, Revich at 9-2, 5-1 Croupier, Wob 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 was a regular on this pod. Lee Roach rides for Adrian Keatley, 11-2, Fionn is 7-1. Guidor for Ulster Fans, 8-1 and 10-1, and big at the rest. A few horses here, Rory, who I think ran in this race or at this meeting last year.
Yeah, it's very much. It's a 7.5 furlong contest. It's a bit of a specialist trip. Red Mirage won the race last year, and if you look at the previous runners, Revich was third from a good draw. Boardman was fifth, having had to come wide, and you see from past results that again you tend to have a bias towards the low numbers, but it is possible to hit the frame from high. Wob's got the best of draw in stall one, and he can go forward as well and handles testing ground, so he comes into the equation. But it's priced accordingly, for a horse who only wins occasionally. Wob, he's well found in the market. Revich, again, is very consistent. Doesn't quite stay a stiff mile. He's got plenty of good form and mile handicaps, but always looks like he could do with half a furlong less, and he is a course and distance winner. He's very well suited by this 7.5 furlongs. Again, he's a reasonably short price, around 5 or 6 to 1. He's got a fair draw for him in stall 6. I wanted to go with a big outsider here. Because the horse, you can give up, obvious chances to a few of these at the head of the market. Boardman, of course, again, he's caught the eye 2 or 3 times this season, tends to travel well, finishes off strongly, needs luck in running. He's got a good draw, but the good draw is of less use to him than it is to others, given his run style. Again, he's right at the head of the market. Percy's Lad is about, is 20s and bigger. What price is he with Paddy?
Buying on 20-1.
20-1. You get a little bit bigger than that elsewhere as well. So you might get bigger than that if you are patient. He's run stall 13, which is theoretically the worst of the draw. But if you go back through the stats for runs over this course of distance, particularly with a bit of dig in the ground, you find that the wider stall doesn't do too badly. And Percy's Lad has got plenty of pace to get out of trouble and get a good position. He tends to be a front runner. You think that, you know, as a front runner, you'd want to be drawn much lower. And that may well be the case. It may well be the draw beats him here. But he certainly wouldn't be 25-1 if he was drawn towards the inside. He was a winner over course and distance of a 4-pound lower mark last August. He ran very well again on his final start on softish ground at York. He's got form on heavy ground going back. He doesn't race on easy ground too much. 3 wins last season, came twice on good to form and once on good ground. But if you go back, he ran his best race as a juvenile in the, I think it was the Horace Hill at Newbury, when he was only beaten a length on heavy ground. He's not raced on heavy ground since, but that was his best effort as a juvenile. There's no reason to think that he won't cope very well with plenty of dig in the ground. He was consistent last year when, as I said, he won 3 times. He remains on a mark that he can do a bit of damage off. He's been competitive off this sort of mark before. Richard Kingscote knows the track very well and knows the horse well too. I just thought he could spring a bit of a surprise at a big price. 20s and bigger, as I said, because he's drawn in 13, it tends to be only one way that horses with that kind of draw go. People tend to overbet the draw. They will back those horses who are well drawn. And I think the likes of Al Rufan, Croupier are quite hard to fancy. And the obvious ones at the head of the market, yeah, I can make a case for Refuge, I can make a case for Wob Wob Wob, for Boardman, but they're well found. Guidor out in the middle, I mean, he's a solid sort as well, and I can see him running well. But the one horse whose price doesn't really match his claims on paper is Percy's Lad, and I know that's draw related. And as I said, when these races are priced up in the first place, the draw is taken into account. When punters then get a chance to punt into them, they tend to overbet the low-drawn horses, even though that's taken account of in the betting anyway. And you end up with horses drawn very high who end up being too big. And I think Percy's Lad is too big here.
There we go. Strong case made for Percy's Lad. Ruby Walsh.
Yeah, I'm very interested. And the first horse Rory mentioned was Red Mirage, because he won the race last year. And I was thinking, oh, is he going to tip the same one as me? And he didn't. So I was thinking with Red Mirage, I just thought definitely handle it cutting the ground. Obviously won the race last year, has decent enough form in Chester, and that was drawing me to Red Mirage. I'd imagine he's going to be an each way price because he hasn't had a run in quite a while, 233 days, but he has okay form and he's been fresh. John Quinn now trains Red Mirage, obviously, when he won this race last year. He was being trained by John Quinn. He was with Mark Johnson before that. Well, Andrew Balding had him, hadn't he? Andrew Balding, he's with John Quinn now. So, new stable. I'm going to chance Red Mirage.
Yep, he is an each way price. He's 10-1 at the time of recording. Couple of double figure price sorts for us.
I think I think John Quinn trained the dam as well of Red Mirage Duchess Dora, so he knows the family as well. Whether that is meaningful or not, I don't know. But it's quite interesting that he trained her.
Some say that they say they know the family.
Knows the club.
Knows the family. Yeah they say
knows
that.
Knows the stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
Next is a mile and a quarter handicap, the 205, and this race is head of the market as we record. By the way, we're recording just afternoon on Thursday, so 130 Savvy Victory, Ryan Moore, employed by Sean Woods, 4-1 Groundbreaker for Oshie Murphy and Andrew Balding, Baryshnikov is 4-1, Pride of America 7s, 8-1 Fantastic Fox, and double figure odds the rest, Ruby Walsh.
Yeah, easy enough to see why Savvy Victory is favourite. Has a good draw in stall one. Well, perceived to be a good draw, but you've got to get out from stall one, and Savvy Victory has had a tendency in the past to come from off the pace. He was held up last in the Cambridgeshire behind Majestic last year, so not sure he's one going to be a brilliant draw or not, but you never know. So they could go all over the track by Friday afternoon in Chester. So, but the ones that were interesting to me, I thought Fantastic Fox with the run behind Bad Company at Epsom under his belt was definitely one with a squeak. He was second behind Mujtaba at Newbury last October, and Mujtaba is running later on the card. Thought he was of interest, Jack Mitchell riding for Roger Varian. And the other one I thought with a squeak at a big price was Cap Francie of Francais, even of Ian Williams, as Richard Kingscote rides. Had a run in Kempton on the all weather back in April, and you know, a second here at Chester last year behind Barshikov. So I thought Cap Francis at a massive price for Ian Williams and Richard Kingscote could run well.
Okay, keep an eye. Richard Kingscote getting a couple of tips already in the first couple of races. Rory?
I'm very sweet on one here. I thought Pride of America would be hard to beat. He's had wind surgery since his last run, which was finishing sixth at Saint Cloud in March. Now, you might think that's slightly disappointing. He was only beaten two lengths, having set a very strong pace that day. Was still in front at the furlong pole, and then got passed by a few. That form is really strong. That was in a listed race, the Prix de la Porte de Madrid, won by the good man who ran very well in his next start. The third, Luisa Casati, won a listed race on her next start. Mello, who was fourth, was a listed winner last weekend. And Pride of America wasn't far behind. It was very tight for the first four places, a neck, a nose, and a head between first and fourth. And Pride of America was ahead behind the fifth. As I said, I think that form is strong. I don't think he was at his very best there. Probably just struggled with his win, which is why he's had surgery since. But his form on turf, particularly with a bit of dig in the ground, reads really well. He is a proper front runner in that he goes hard. He's not a horse who needs to dominate. He's a horse who will go hard and try to make the running and draw the sting out of others. I think he's virtually guaranteed to lead here. He's the only horse who's a regular front runner in this race. And as I said, when Pride of America goes forward, he goes forward in no uncertain terms. He's a regular winner. As I said, he's up to listed class, only beaten two lengths last time, despite the fact that he clearly wasn't at his best. And I think he can come on a fair bit for that. The form of Amy Murphy Shard is a slight concern, but her horses are running well enough. They're not winning races, but they're running well enough to suggest that it's just a matter of time, and there doesn't seem to be anything wrong there. He's a course and distance winner in the past, Pride of America. Stall four is absolutely fine for him. I think he will make a very, very bold bid to win this. I thought he's a big price given his overall record. He's done really well since moving to Amy Murphy. And although he didn't win on heavy ground, I doubt it's going to be heavy tomorrow, but you never know. You never know. There's still plenty of rain around. He was runner-up on heavy ground at Pontefract last April and ran right up to his best at that stage. His only poor run last season, I would say, was when he was a little bit disappointing in listed company in France and again had wind surgery on the back of that. So his breathing is a little bit of a worry, but he's bounced back from wind surgery to win first time out this season. So I'd be hopeful that another little tweak there can see him back to his best. And his run style and the track look ideal here.
Okay, keep an eye out for Pride of America. Quite strong there, Rory. Right, first group race action of the day is the Huxley Stakes, 1.25 miles. And we saw Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore in the winner's enclosure on day one with the somewhat impressive winner of the Cheshire Oaks. All right, that saved the last dance. Point Lonsdale is their representative here. He was a horse who Frankie rode in the Guineas, albeit majorly disappointing, but clearly something happened because we didn't see him again as a three-year-old. A winning reappearance. He's the 5-4 favourite. Mushtaba for William Haggis is 7-2. 4-1 Fox's Tail. There's another Irish raider, Noel Mead, saddling Lafayette with Colin Keane books. That's a 14-1 shot. I'll go back to you, Rory, for the Huxley.
Yeah, I didn't massively like the Huxley. I thought Point Lonsdale was the likeliest winner on paper. Obviously, as you said, we only got to see him once last season, but he proved he was as good as ever when winning the alleged stakes last time out. Testing grounds and 1.25 miles, clearly not a problem for him, as you'd expect on pedigree anyway, being a son of Australia. So you're always worried about horses with his sort of profile, whether they will come back. But I think you couldn't have any question that the Curra run suggested he was right back. I know that's only a group three, but you know, it's group three, isn't it? It's not a massive step up here, but the whole point about the last run is not finding out how good he is. It was finding out how much of his ability he retains. And although, you know, he looked a little bit rusty at stages and he traded a fair price in running, he stayed on very well to win that. So any questions you had about his stamina, which, you know, would have been minimal anyway, or his ability to handle, the grind of this sort of trip, those were answered as well. And I think he's the likeliest winner, but I'm not mad about backing horses at his price around here.
That's fine. Yeah, I was looking at his back form, Ruby, as a 2-year-old, and I think he was sent off 8-13 to beat Native Trail in the National Stakes. That's how good a 2-year-old he was.
Quite big ask, wasn't it? Big ask for him. But yeah, look, visualization obviously franked the form as well. Now, visualization did get the run of the race at the curve of the last day when Lafayette finished second, with some bigger names behind, like Pisbadil, Insinuendo, and Luxembourg. So, looking above the curve, even was behind him on that occasion. But visualization got a brilliant ride from Declan McDonagh and definitely kicked off the front. But it still franked Point Lonsdale's form. And I agree with Rory. Would I stick my neck out? No, but I do think he's the most likely winner.
Yeah, he's the one to beat for sure at a meeting that Dayton O'Brien does so well. He never goes, though, does he? Never goes to Chester. Maybe that's something that Coolmore will tell him. You don't need to go to all the meetings, Aidan. He seems to do well at Chester. The feature on the Friday is the Chester.
If I was Anne Marie, I'd be telling him to stay at home. You keep away from Chester. And Liverpool.
Leave that to Kevin Buckley. All right. Chester Cup, the feature arguably of the meeting, is the 2 mile, 2 furlong handicap. You don't see too many of these. And they're back for more. Long time between drinks. Falcon 8, Dermot Weld in the Dr. Lamb colours won this race for Moy Glare a few years ago. Frankie Dettori was on board that day. No Frankie today. It's Ryan Moore and Dermot Weld. 11-2 joint favourite with the mud-loving Metier for Harry Fry. 6-1 Zoffy for Hugo Palmer. Used to be trained elsewhere, of course, by Philip Hobbs and Johnson White. Call My Bluff is 7-1. That's been back. John Egan on board. Vino Victrix for Hugh Morrison, 8-1. And 10-1 and bigger the rest. Plenty of these we know, Ruby. Plenty of these we've seen before. The likes of Tritonic and Co. What was your take on the Chester Cup?
Yeah, and I was, look, Falcon 8, obviously Ryan is an eye-catching booking for Dermot Weld, but at 8 years of age, and he did win well the year he won with Frankie, but I was going against him. Metier is an obvious one, likes to dig in the ground, and has been a much more reliable flat horse than he has been jumper, I suppose is the best way of putting it. So Metier definitely has a squeak. I think Zoffy could be plenty high in the weights. I was going down along. I think Tritonic, I know he's by See the Moon, but I think Tritonic could ultimately end up finding his way back on track, I suppose is the best way of putting it, coming through the flat route. So definitely think Tritonic has a shout. And the other one I think has a squeak is Almohit, who's ex-John and Teddy Gosden, joined Dennis Hogan, had four runs over hurdles even, got too well handicapped or rated too low for the Fred Winter and ended up having a gallop round in the Triumph. But I just thought his flat form read like he was quite keen when John Gosden had him. A few runs over hurdles seemed to have settled him down. He's wearing cheek pieces, Joey Sheridan rides for Dennis Hogan, and I thought Almohit at a big price could run a good race each way.
Okay, nice shape there. Dennis Hogan and Joey Sheridan are the winner at Goran earlier on in the week. Rory?
I thought this, I was going to say it looks straightforward. I think it looks like a race where the stats should help you. Emian and Call My Bluff are first and second in a course and distance handicap on softish ground in September. Emian doing very well to win from stall 16, but he did manage to get out in front despite the poor draw and made most under Zach Wheatley. I thought Call My Bluff, he was beaten ahead and stayed on really strongly, could turn the tables this time around. Again, you certainly wouldn't be disappointed to see that Emian has drawn stall one here for a horse he wants to make the running. And he's certainly entitled to need the run on his reappearance. Whether heavy ground was too soft for him at Thursday, I don't know, because he ran pretty well in the November handicap last season on heavy ground, so it shouldn't have been an excuse. My worry with him is just that he was essentially rated 80 when he won here in September, with Zach Wheatley claiming the 5 off. Harris and Shaw on board has been on board for 3 runs since, and he's still rated 89. So despite the fact that he's been beaten 3 starts since, he's not come down in the weights at all for that, which is just a little bit of a worry. But Chester clearly suits him. He's got very good his lifetime form figures at Chester, first, fourth, second, fourth, second, first. Those are all in sort of good soft ground. And the majority of them are at 2 miles or 2.25 miles, although he did win a mile and a quarter handicap here as a 3-year-old, I think. He's going to go well, but I thought Call My Bluff from a yard who's had... having a very good season so far. Dominic French Davis obviously got some of the ammo horses now, has Dominic, but his own horses have been running pretty well. And Call My Bluff, again, very well suited by a test of stamina here, and runs Chester well. His form figures, 3 runs at Chester, They've all come at either 2 or 2.25 miles, first, third, and second. And that second to Emmian was a really good run because he had to wait to challenge. I remember it well because I backed him. I think I napped him that day. And he got going just too late and was beaten ahead. He's better off at the weights. He was given £1. He was essentially given £6 away rather to Emmian that day with Zach Wheatley's claim. He is now getting £1 from Emmian, and there is no jockey claim involved. John Egan rode him that day. John Egan's on board for the first time since. I just thought he would get carried through this race nicely, and it's a case of John hopefully getting the gaps in the straight. Hasn't won for a while, call my bluff, but he just keeps galloping. He's perfectly well handicapped. There aren't too many poor runs in this card. He went to Galway last season. It was a bit disappointing there, but his runs in the UK have been pretty good. The Cesarewitch is probably too tough a race for him in his final start, but he was third in the Cesarewitch trial at Newmarket and then second here to Emmian. He's a reliable performer in his grade. And although the Chester Cup should be as tough a race as the Cesarewitch, it doesn't look that strong this year in terms of previous runnings. You don't have a maximum feel for it this year. It looks weaker than it has been. Obviously, we've had the Chester Cup and the Chester Vase on this card for a few years because it's been so tough. Doesn't look so tough this year. And I think that helps call my bluff, because I think he would struggle against genuinely top class stayers. But this field, not quite as scary as it might be, and I think he will run a really big race.
Lovely. All right, call my bluff for Rory. You gave Galway a mention there, and that was going to be my intro to a race that ITV are showing. It's a maiden, and I always thought RTE would be the only, Ireland, the only country in the world where a maiden is covered from terrestrial television. But no, ITV are showing us a maiden at 3:45. I've no prices for you. Floor is yours, Ruby.
I didn't even realise they were showing the maiden. I looked down and saw maiden and just kept on to Ascot. So I just picked this open for the very first time.
Leave it out. Rory?
Listen, so it's a tough one with a couple of these
newcomers. Yeah.
There's not much form going on there, but there are a couple of interesting newcomers in the shape of King of the Plains and Medieval Gold, and they're both bred to be pretty decent. I would, off the pair of them, I'd favour Medieval Gold on the ground. He's by Camelot out of a Scirocco mare from a good family. Obviously, this being a mile and a half maiden, you're less worried about a lack of experience. I think if it was for 3-year-old maidens that were shorter trips, that bit of sharpness you need out of the stalls is very important. Over a mile and a half, less the case. So newcomers should be able to win this. King of the Plains is very well bred, but you could argue that starting off over a mile and a half is not maybe the greatest of signs, given there was plenty of speed in the dam's side of the pedigree. She won the French Guineas, for example. So the fact that King of the Plains starts out at a mile and a half is a wee bit of a worry. So I would just go Medieval Gold off the newcomers. Bandera sets the standard. I don't think it's an insurmountable standard, though. So I would, for the sake of a selection, I'd go Medieval Gold. But like Ruby, this isn't the kind of race I'd be looking for a bet on unless I had the benefit of seeing them in the flesh and being able to make a judgment on them there.
Let's see if there was any skin like otters in the
breeding. Indeed.
That's what you want to see. Right, that's the maiden covered at Chester. There is one race at Ascot that ITV are kindly going to put on for us on Friday. It's their opener. It's their opener. The 150 on the card. It's a 7 furlong class 2 handicap. It's a pretty decent race. It's a nice little pipe opener for the Victoria Cup, which is the following day. Ruby, as you've already moved on to this.
Yeah, I was well onto it. Look, obviously, Indy's Shoes won well at Beverly and looked like it had a bit more to offer under Joe Fanning for Charlie Johnson on that occasion. But when I look back at Racing Breaks Rider, won at Nottingham on its seasonal reappearance, when it beat Super King a short head off a mark of 79, carried a £5 penalty under Kieran Schumacher to go and win at Haydock on the 29th of April, beat Akatango. Royal Rhyme. Was third. Royal Rhyme went to Newmarket and beat Ratgar by 5 lengths on his next start. So I'm kind of thinking, ooh, that form is taking a step forward. I thought Racing Breaks Rider had more to offer. So I'm going to side with that.
Yeah, he's the 5-2 favourite as we record. Joint favourite with Indy's Shoes, 11-4 scholarships. So there's almost nothing between the top three. How did you look at this 3-year-old contest, Rory?
More with the Ascot card, I was looking for horses I thought would definitely handle the ground, because although it's on the soft side at Chester, you might be sort of looking at soft, good to soft there. Whereas Ascot, soft, heavy in places, no real hiding place in that kind of ground. So Racing Breaks Rider was just about my pick because he handled heavy ground very well at Nottingham. Whereas although he's run respectably on soft ground, I don't think In These Shoes would like it very deep. He's the other joint favourite. Her reappearance run came on good to soft ground at Beverley. She was below her best form on soft ground at Newmarket in October. That's not necessarily all ground related, but she's won on good to firm as well. And I don't think she would want a real slog, whereas Racing Breaks Rider has already shown that. And being a son of Fast Company, they all tend to do very well on that sort of ground. One who might be overpriced is OJ Lifestyle. Untried on this sort of ground and has something to find on form, but looked good when winning at Newbury in August. Didn't really go on from that in two starts later in the year, but starts off with the yard having been in very good form this spring. And as a son of Glen Eagles, he might actually improve for soft ground. So I thought he was he's about 16-1 OJ Lifestyle. So I thought he was interesting enough if there was any hint of market support for him. But Racing Breaks Rider is the solid one at the head of the market.
Fair enough. Yeah, he is 16-1 as we record on Thursday. OJ Lifestyle. Right, before we skip forward to Saturday, take a quick break. There are three Willie Mullins horses declared at Kilbeggan on a Friday evening. So I've asked Ruby to tell us all about them. Rule the Wind is the first, with Brian Hayes booked in what looks to me like the same colours as Dad's Lad, who, of course, Brian Hayes did well with earlier on the season.
And obviously Rule the Wind's last couple of runs were in the colours of Mrs. Sue Magner. The sort of white grass racing syndicate even have taken over ownership of Rule the Wind. Was disappointing in a bumper behind Firefox at Navan, but ran much better at Tipperary in a maiden hurdle behind Pat Foley's Castlefield Boy. Sutton's Hill was third on that occasion. He has his chance. He'll have improved for the run experience-wise over jumps. He's obviously by Bok in the park. He'll run well, but the Magnus didn't have any issue in turning the back on him.
And running in a summer jumps main hurdle. Paul Marvel in the 720 still has the Susanna Ritchie colours. Sean O'Keefe will be jocked up. A beginner's chase. He's got some fairly experienced horses to beat here, this one.
He is. I suppose the real deal is the one that catches the eye when you look at declarations. Ivan as well is a solid 125 hurdler and had some good form back earlier in the year. Get My Drift has an official rating of 130 and hasn't run since Leperstown when it was six behind Final Orders. Was obviously well beaten by Appreciated in a novice chase at Punchestown, but Get My Drift and it's what unites us. There's a few sharp enough horses in here. Percy Warner as well is not a bad horse, and I'd say Paul Marvel probably wants a good bit further to be seen at his best. I'd say he's a real stayer, Paul Marvel, and 2-3 around Kilbeggan might just be too sharp for him.
Okay, keep an eye out for it. Well, that is actually a very good beginner's chase the more you look at it. Good quality handicap chase.
Yeah, it's a funny one. And I was listening to reading lads and people giving out that there's no break in the jump season straight after Sandown and straight after Punchestown. It's their own time of year for a break in jump racing. You still have winter horses going to the end of the season. Season changes. Maidens can go into beginners chasers. Bumper horses go jumping. You still can get slow ground in May. And that is why the break is not in May. It's because national racing does depend on a little bit of give underfoot. So this is the right time of year for race courses to have racing. So you have racing in May. I always believe the best time is around the Irish Derby at the end of June into early July, when you should be getting really warm weather, theoretically speaking, when you're trying to plan something months in advance, or it is 6 months in advance. I always think the last 2 weeks in June, first week in July, there, around that period there is when there should be no national racing. And not at this time of year. There should be national racing this time of year.
And then come back for the party out west and go at the end of July. There is one of the bumper in the colours of many good horses, Whiskey Sarah, all those horses you ought to know. And Patrick does go to ride. There's a couple of interesting ones. Joseph's got one in Joshua DeFlow. Gordon's got a winner in Croke Park. So how does you ought to know go?
You ought to know goes well was out of Pont Alma, who I think Luke McMahon may well have owned with Philip Reynolds, Pont Alma. I think she was in Willie's. half thinking maybe I even rode Pontalma. Maybe I didn't. Ran in two bumpers. Patrick rode her both times. I definitely rode her work. But you ought to know it has plenty of work done by Beat Hollow, who's a very good stallion, and 2 miles around Kilbeggan. Hopefully won't be too sharp for it. But look, Crow Park. Someone had to name the horse Crow Park.
Yeah, wonder if GA Go cameras will be there to show us a bit of Crow Park. Yeah, that's the chicken.
It's just a fair name, Leary, isn't it?
Yeah,
stand out by walking the park. You just imagine, you know, won a point for Dennis Murphy, but you must have thought a hell of a lot of it to call a horse Crow Park. So you'd have to kind of be thinking that could be a little bit above average.
Yeah, cost two. Wasn't crazy expensive after that. Was it 100? Okay, 150 grand. That is crazy expensive. Yeah, so that's an interesting runner. That is Friday's action done. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we'll look ahead to Saturday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, it's Saturday and ITV cameras will be at Linkfield, Ascot, Haydock, but we're recording on Thursday, and thanks to all the rain that fell, we don't really, as we record, don't have declarations for Linkfield. So we're going to focus on Ascot, Haydock and elsewhere. We might have a quick look at Killarney as well. Let's start with the action at Ascot, Rory. The 130 is the first race that's live on ITV. No price for this as of yet. It is a mile and near 4 furlong handicap. And I'm expecting Surumi in the Amo Racing colours to be towards the top of the betting. He's top of the weights.
Yeah, he'll be reasonably well fancied. Surumi's up £4 for winning the Great Metropolitan at Epsom last time out. I thought he got a tremendous ride from William Buick, and I was very, very pleased to see it as well because I napped him that day. But I thought Buick was absolutely inch perfect all the way through, had him in a perfect place, delivered him at exactly the right time, got the favoured stands rail at Epsom and held on to win by a length. Didn't think he had an awful lot in hand there. I thought he was a decent bet given his form and heavy ground. He's now had three of his last four runs to come in heavy ground. He's been second, and first. Didn't run terribly, actually. I know he's well beaten, 11-13 at Kempton on his second start this season, but it wasn't an awful run. And that run in the Rosebery only came 8 days after his reappearance, and he was just a little bit flat. You've got to give him a chance here. My gut feeling is the £4 rise probably just does for him. And then it's a case of who you think can beat him. There are a few who are interesting enough. The one who interests me most, though, was High Fibre. And I think High Fibre might be a decent bet here. He's very, very lightly raced. He showed a lot of promise as a two-year-old. His early starts giving the impression that he needed a bit more of a test than he was getting. And then when he was qualified for nurseries, he showed improved form. He's only run on soft ground so far, saw him finish sixth. And I think people look at that and go, well, yeah, maybe soft ground's a negative for him. If you want to go back and watch that race again, it turned out to be a really warm nursery. O'Herbert's Rain, who won, was a winner next time out. Dark Moon Rising, who was third. Well, what was he? Was he runner-up in the Dancy last year? He won his next start well. Wooden Sun also won next time out. It was a really, really solid form. And if you watch High Fibre shape through that race, he was poorly drawn. He ended up with a pretty poor track position as a result, and I'm not sure he had anything behind him with a furlong and a half to run, but he finished off best of all. He was going on very nicely at the finish. You had to put him in your notebook based on that run, and you certainly wouldn't have said he didn't handle the ground. He then stepped up and tripped for his next start and won really well at Yarmouth. At Newmarket, rather, beating New Mission by 5 lengths. We've only seen him once since then. He was off for a while, and he ran in a handicap at Newmarket in April last year. Looked sure to win. Traded 101 in running when he went clear. Just kicked for home a little bit too soon. Kicked into a decisive lead with a couple of furlongs to go, and just get headed on the post by Educator, That's pretty solid form. Educator was favourite for the race. He's got plenty of top-end handicap form to suggest how strong that was. Israr was back in third again. Very solid there. And High Fiver looked a horse to follow, particularly given more of a test of stamina. I think he was ridden to bring his stamina into play. Probably idle a little bit in front, which saw him lose it. We haven't seen him since. He races in different colours, but he's not been sold. So I think he's now part of the partnership who owned him has now formed a new partnership. So he runs in the colours of Gary Stevens and the delightfully named Manhole Covers Limited. And I believe
wouldn't have expected the Hall of Fame jockey to team up with the Manhole Covers Limited, but there you go.
No, indeed. But the guy behind Manhole Covers Limited is an owner already with Harry Fry and has been for a couple of years, based down in the southwest in Newton Abbot, I believe. So that makes sense that the High Fibers changed stable, given the new part owner at the very least. And although his absence has to be a slight concern, Harry Fry's, you know, he's not going to bring a horse back. He's not going to bring a horse all the way to Ascot off a year's absence in need of a run, I don't think. And High Fiver just looks very, very unexposed. He won, as I said, he was a five-length winner of that nursery at Newmarket on his final two-year-old start. And then looked like he was going to take another step forward. In fact, he did in form terms. When second at Newmarket early last season, he's just £4 higher for that. If you look at where the horses around him there are now, and indeed how the form of both his nurseries worked out last season, in 2021, he could be very, very well handicapped up a mark of 89. Safi Osborne rides. I suspect he's going to progress a bit. He doesn't have much to find. Looking at the ratings, and as I said, you don't have to look too far below them to suggest he's actually a fair bit better than the bare form that we've seen from him and completely unexposed. So I like him quite a lot here.
Harry Fry trains High Fiver. Don't have much fiber in a fry, but on this occasion it could be the way to go in the 130. Ruby.
Oh, that was slick, PK. That was slick. So it was, and well, I've gone to the wrong race. First in Ascot tomorrow.
First Ascot on Saturday.
I looked at the declarations an hour ago. I assumed Old Harrovian had been declared because he wasn't running in Chester this afternoon, and I see he's not there now. So I'm going to follow PK Rory with High Fiver because I'm going to break this computer. I was thinking Old Harrovian, if Andrew Balding was going to run him in a group race at Chester, I'm definitely going to follow him into a handicap.
Oh, disaster. Well, we will keep an eye out for Old Harrovian.
Don't really fancy him in the group race, but I was thinking, hang on now. Dropping him back to a handicap, I'll have a bit of that.
One to stick into the tracker, and maybe he'll pop up off that current
today,
rating.
Doesn't he?
Oh, he's in Friday, is he? Or Thursday, is he? Right, okay.
Yeah, he's running in Chester. I assumed he was an on-runner in Chester, and he'd been redeclared in Ascot. No, that's why I was siding with him.
Oh, well. Well, look, High Fiber will do. A very strong case made by Rory there. We'll move on to the 205 Fillies handicap over the straight mile. Yeah, this is on the straight mile for three-year-olds and upwards. So it's a tough task for three-year-olds this time of the season. There are three of them in the race. Timeless Melody for William Haggis and Adam Farrer, I'd say, with Mountain Song for Charlie Appley and Harry Davies, who gets the ride. Julie Augusta, the top of the weights for Roger Bray and David Egan. All relatively lightly raced. All are going to be fancied. Load a bunch of previous winners in here. Ruby, I'll give you the first nod this time.
Yeah, and I was going with Timeless Melody. Obviously, didn't make her debut until February of this. You know, she made a February in 22, had another run in April, and then had a year off. And she made a winning reappearance at Leicester. Now, the interesting part is her middle run at Kempton was over 11 furlongs, but they dropped her back to 7 when she made a winning reappearance on heavy ground at Leicester. That was in a pretty run-in-the-mill sort of a race. The Timeless Melody won. Look, she is going to be favourite, but she shows she handles the ground. Adam Farrer, her rides her. And William Haggis, mark of 80. I'd say he was probably rubbing his hands thinking we'll have a bit of that.
Good man, William Haggis indeed. Rory?
I thought the form of the Nottingham race in which Belhaven beat Slime Adam was okay. I do quite like Slime Adam as a performer. She's very effective on heavy ground. Was a winner at Windsor early in the season, off a mark of 77 on heavy, then didn't run so well again, not disgraced, just not particularly well suited by the conditions on the poly track at Kempton next time, and then bounced back. She was at Brighton, rather. I'm looking at far too shy's form line, and then bounced back to be second to Belhaven. I thought she ran at least as well that day as she had at Windsor. But you'd have to say that even on better terms, she's £7 better off with Belhaven. He's won by 3.5, or she's won by 3.5 length, rather, Belhaven. She could have won by a fair bit further on the day. And even with the turnaround in the weights, I thought she would confirm the form. But given that I would have given Sly Madam an each-way chance here anyway, far too shy was third that day, for what it's worth. I thought Belhaven would confirm the form. And I think the form's all right. It's easy to look at it and go, well, the winners made the rest of them look second class, so it's maybe not that competitive. As I said, I think Sly Madam's a solid enough performer when getting her conditions. And for Belhaven to have won that easily suggested that she might just have a bit more to spare. So I would give her a chance of following up with the £7 rise. As I said, she's got a pretty good profile otherwise. I don't know if she just needed the run in her return at Redcar. She was well fancied that day, but finished last, albeit not beaten that far. That was also in heavy ground, but it clearly wasn't the ground that was the issue. She's won well at Nottingham, so I'll give her another chance for the excellent Harry Eustace and Pierre-Louis Jama.
Indeed. All right. So Belhaven there for Roy, Timeless Melody for Ruby. Okay. We head to Ask Cup for the 240. This is the Victoria Cup Premier or Heritage Handicap, whatever way you want to phrase it. Over the 7 furlong trip, £100,000 in the pot. We do have prizes for this on Thursday afternoon. 6 is the Field of Baradar for George Bowie, and Kevin Stott heads the market from Kingdom Come. Fast improving for Clive Cox, who's just drifting, having been big favourite earlier on in the week. That's now 7-1, 8-1 Vafortino, totally charming 8-1. Also 9-1 River Nymph, and double figure odds the rest. We've seen all of these before, including Fresh, who of course we tipped up a couple of times at Royal Ascot. All right, for those of you who weren't listening last year, Rory managed to get the TriCast up. You think you put 5 in it, was it?
And five in it. Well, I think I might have had. I had 5, I think, and one was an on runner. I ended up with 3 from 4.
And was one of those.
So maybe I should put up 6 this time, just in case we have an on runner.
And it was based, I assume, on the draw. I didn't listen back, but it was all draw based.
It's essentially 5 of the 6 highest drawn horses, and that's how it panned out in the end. Vafortino winning from stole 27 when I had the full field. Accidental Agent stole 26. River Nymph stole 28. Were your first 3 home. So,
okay. So what I want is your winner, and I want a TriCast.
That seems reasonable, doesn't it?
I think it does.
I'm going to take a chance on Perotto as my winner here. Now, he's theoretically got no form in the ground, but he did run on heavy ground once as a juvenile. So you look through his handicap form, and indeed his form in group races fairly recently, and mostly he's been running on very quick ground, but he didn't seem to enjoy the very quick ground the last 2 times. He's been last of 6 here and last of 4 at Haydock on ground that's been firm twice last season. He's changed stable since, runs in the same colours, but he's left Marcus Tregoning and gone to Roger Varian. David Egan takes a ride here. Now, as I really liked it, it was a head case as a 2-year-old, but a very talented head case. And I had him in my notebook very early on. He won a maiden at Goodwood, and then I'd napped him to win on his nursery debut, which came up the following month. Just touched off there, but then won next time out. And at the end of the season, he ran in the big sales race, the big Tattersalls October auction stakes at Newmarket, where he finished 3rd of 27. And I would have absolutely no problem looking at that race and say he definitely ran to his form. Now, most of his, generally, his early form was at short trips, because although he's bred to stay, he tended to pull very hard. I said he's a bit of a nutcase as a 2-year-old. He's settled down a lot since then. I thought it was a good run. Now, the winner, Just Frank, was a real mud lover. He won that by a margin and raced all on his own. Perotto was drawn on the opposite side of the track and essentially was second in his race, beaten in the neck by a horse called Gift List. So ground is no concern, despite the fact that he's hardly raced on it since. Roger Vierens, obviously, no massive worries about running him on soft to heavy ground. He's run a stall 21, so he's only got a couple between him and the stands rail. He's got good form. I think he was. Did he win the? He won the
Britannia
here as a 3-year-old. Yeah. So that a cavalry charge at Ascot is not a problem for him. Again, he's run over as far as he ran in the Cambridgeshire last year. You could argue on pedigree that he could stay a mile and a quarter. I think he'd be at least as effective at 7 furlongs as he has been at a mile. Just allowed to do his own thing. And again, the pace they go at 7 furlongs helps him because he can take a bit of a pull in his races. So he'd be my pick in the race. The others I would stick up with him. I think Biggles and Stall 23, he's got very good looking form figures. But I think this is the bigger ask of him. He was placed off this market Haydock last time out, but he wants to dominate. And I think even from Stall 23, I think it's going to be difficult for him to do at Ascot. So I'm going to leave Biggles out of my trifecta. I'll keep Safe Voyage in. I'll keep Accidentally
Agent Tricast.
The Tricast, indeed. Yeah. I don't know what I said. So I keep the old boys in, Accidental Agent and Safe Voyage. They're solid. Accidental Agent obviously was part of the Tricast last year. Kingdom Come, you'd be daft to throw him out from a good draw in Stall 18. What do I do? I think I might stick Sir Dancelot in as the last one in that. The obvious one to go for there, drawn in Stall 17, is Rainbow Fire, who's got solid and progressive form figures. But Sir Dancelot's got a lot of class. And although John Butler's not exactly banging in the winners, I thought the booking of Gerald Mosse was very interesting for Sir Dancelot. He's won on the horse before going back. He's won a group race on him, I'm sure. And Sir Dancelot, again, I've got no problem sticking in the oldies in here who know the track. They tend to keep giving the running. And Sir Dancelot is potentially well handicapped on the pick of his form. Took a bit of a step back in the right direction when second at Kempton last time out. And he'll be doing his best work late on, which is never a bad thing at Ascot. So that would be my trifecta perm.
Okay, so just call out the horses again.
The horses are. Well, you might as well call out the draws, mightn't I? It's easier to remember.
You completely skipped Tylos in 19.
I did, yeah. I don't like Tylos.
Good job.
Okay.
He's won by half the track on heavy ground at Leicester last time. I just don't particularly trust that form. And he made the running. I don't want horses who are trying to make the running over 7 furlongs at Ascot unless they're proven that they can do it before. That'd be a negative for me. So I am perming stalls 22, 21, 20, 18, and 16.
Okay. Not everyone's going to know the draw. Can I have the horse names, please?
So Dancelot, Kingdom Come, Accidental Agent, Perotto, and Safe Voyage.
There you go, folks. Put them all in your combination tricast, and we're not going straight. We'll go combo tricast, will we? Fine. Okay.
Until they have one of those, so they start inventing the super effector or whatever you want to have it go on, which doesn't exist at the moment. So
triple. What's the one in Hong Kong called? We need to get the four in the correct order. It was the biggest bet of the day. Every race, triple tricast.
They do the similar bet, the Kante in France, don't they?
Oh yeah, the Kante, the 1-2-3-4. Right, there you go, Ruby. You were busy scribbling away. Give us your idea of the winner then.
So where's it going? The opposite. What do you think?
Low draws.
Stalls 1-5.
Low draws.
So there's 12 of the 23 have winning form on soft ground or slower. And I've just been listening to Rory intently here for the last half an hour, and he does believe it's going to be quite testing at Ascot. So I was going with the 12 of those and thinking, right, I'm going to rule out anything that hasn't shown winning form. There's loads of them that have run placed on soft ground or slower ground, but they then have winning form on good ground. So I'm just taking a rule of thumb here that they're better horses when the ground is a bit drier. So I was more drawn to the ones that were low for that reason. Admiral D in stall 5 has winning form in the stall and testing ground. Thought that would, he definitely, if they call an Ascot slow, I guarantee it's nothing like the stall slow. So I thought he definitely had a chance. Spycatcher's over there in 6. Spycatcher obviously won well at Tursk on his last start and the short enough in the betting. I was going to go with that one. You could argue Baradar in 7. Rory's not outside, but I'm going to leave Baradar out. I wasn't with him. I thought Darkness was another one. And I tell you, they're the ones I thought, Darkness, Admiral D, and Spycatcher. They were the three I had in. I couldn't have Ropey Guest on the ground, so I'd be going with Zip and Rebel Territory in the low draws for my five to try and get three.
Five equals three. If I was to put you down for a winning tip or an each way tip,
Admiral D is my tip each way. I'm completely on the other side of the track to Rory, even though Rory has made a better case for pace being Tylos and Biggles to draw his side of the track up there in front.
Yes, hopefully they do the job and drop away for a long hour. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Thank you, gentlemen. That is the Victoria Cup. There's a few races because we didn't have time to preview Lingfield. The entries are only filtering through as we record. So I wanted to talk about the Swinton Handicap Hurdle, which is live on ITV. I'll get the prices up because I know there are prices available at the time of recording. This is always a kind of a start of the summer handicap hurdle at Haydock. Rui, the floor is yours for this one.
Yeah, the interesting one was the horse actually of Paul Nicholls's that got balloted out. The four-year-old in the blue and white colours won at Taunton, whose name has escaped me. I was looking at him in the entries, but he was the last one out. He got balloted out anyway. So what are you left with? You're left with a really competitive field. And it's interesting, we're looking at Chester, ground is slow. You're looking at Haydock, and they're going to give good ground over jumps on Saturday. It's gone good to soft now. But I think that gives Nibiru a great chance. I think on his run on yielding ground, which is the equivalent of good to soft, at Leopardstown behind Gaelic Warrior is a solid run. He really disappointed at Aintree in his last start for whatever reason. He was beaten too early for it to be a fair account of his ability. So I'm going to give Nibiru a good chance. Biker would be your favourite for Charles and Phillips Burns. Obviously chased home Jazzy Matty in the Fred Winter, but Jazzy Matty has let that down since. I'm sure there's plenty of horses in there that have franked the form, but I was not really, kind of gone a little bit on Biker. Affidil was the horse of Paul Nicholls, as I was thinking of, who got balloted out, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on. But some Biker's in there as well. But I did think Nibiru had a chance, and Brentford Hope lacks a bit of experience, but he's a high-class flat horse.
He was, yeah, in the Shawmun Ryan Silks. Biker's 9-2 favourite. The 6 is already gone in one hit. 5-1 Brentford Hope. Took me a while to get the prices, obviously. Teddy Blue 8-1, 9-1, one more for the road. And Nibiru, a nice each way price at 16-1 as we record on Thursday. All right, the Swinton, please, Rory.
I made a case for one of these running over the trip at Aintree, and there was a non-runner of the day because of soft ground. That's On Public. I think the key to On Public is he doesn't want trips in excess of 2 miles, and yet he keeps running over 2.5 miles and keeps not staying at it. His form figures in recent times over 2 miles, 1, 1, 3, 5 on ground that didn't suit him, 1. And then he's been running over further, 6th at Ascot, again, travelled well, didn't get home. Runner up at Bangor in a small field race again, where he, you know, tried to come with a late run but couldn't lay a glove on the winner in a slowly run race. And then he was very handy until between the last two hurdles at Cheltenham last time out, and didn't get home. I think he ran at Cheltenham because he missed an opportunity at Aintree the week before, and that race was there. He doesn't want soft ground, and again, you know, if you take the soft ground runs out of his CV in this country. He won on soft ground on his second start for the yard, just an ordinary novice at juvenile hurdle rather at Market Raisin. But since then, his best form has come in sort of good or good to soft ground. And at around 2 miles and on good or good to soft ground, he is 3 from 3. He's won a mark of 132 at Huntingdon. The handicapper's not exactly throwing him much slack for getting beaten 3 times. But obviously takes the same view as I do, that he's just not been staying. He's dropped 1 pound for his last 3 runs. Henry Brook gets back on again, taking over from Toby Wynn. And he's probably 137 is just a fair mark for him. But I do think he will be placed running under his ideal conditions, which he's not had for a while. So I think it'd be a fair price. There's probably something lurking down there that's unexposed that probably does him. Biker could be that horse. Who looks like a horse with a lot of improving in him, Biker. He's caught my eye. He caught my eye very much at Nace in that race that always throws up the winner of the Boodles, and then he was just touched off in the Boodles itself.
He's the Boodles trial. We call it the Boodles trial.
Yeah.
May as well.
Yeah, so he's dangerous, but he'll be priced accordingly. And I just think you'll get a good price about On Public, and I think he will run right up to his very best form, which should see him in the extra places. How many extra places there may be?
Oh, I'm sure.
We'll find out.
There's loads. Yeah. I'm sure there's loads. Yeah, speaking of Charles Burns eye catchers, I backed one at Gorin during the week.
Did you indeed?
I see. It didn't just catch my eye. Right, we will head onwards to... Actually, Ruby, you flagged up that you had one for me, the early stages of Haydock, 135?
Yeah, the three-mile handicap hurdle at Haydock. Big field, a competitive race. Obviously, Grosny's in there. Nicky Henderson is well represented with Mill Green, Boland, Dever, and a few more. But I thought Wawa of Dermot McLaughlin's lost its way over fences, PK. But bad run at Turles, carried out at Punchestown, pulled up at Cork, went back over hurdles and won in February at Navan, and followed up at Leopardstown. Disappointed then in the Dulster National, but back over hurdles again tomorrow afternoon. Aidan Coleman rides for Dermot McLaughlin. I thought Wawa had an each way chance.
Okay, keep an eye out for that one. Wawa
Didn't mind Wawa either. Do you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, that the term Wawa is used quite a lot in the village where I grew up. It's a reference to tourists from Belfast.
Like what?
Because I grew up in a village called Cushendall, which has a big caravan park, and in the summer we cook quite a lot of visitors from Belfast, and people from Belfast in the town during the summer are referred to by the locals as Wawas because of the way they talk.
Okay. Do you have can you give me an example of
what that was coming?
The gag is that if you've got a lovely soft North Antrim accent like we do in Cushendall and someone turns up from Belfast, it sounds like they're just going wah 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 wah. So they're called wah-wahs.
So it's not quite complimentary.
It's not enormously complimentary, but it's hardly racist now, is it?
No.
Or derogatory.
No. And thankfully, producer Mark isn't on today, so this is all going to make the pod, guys. This is great. As I mentioned, we've a couple of races we're looking at the Wazies, not on ITV. And 3:45 Ascot, Rory, you flagged up. There's one that caught your eye in that race.
Well, it caught my eye less. It caught my eye less when I looked at it a second time around. I think I've been looking at it pre-decks.
Don't worry, Rory, we've all done that today.
So go on, just tell us what your thinking was and then I'll decide whether I'm putting you down for selection or not.
Yeah, I thought Shabazz would go very well if you take the view that he just needed the run on his reappearance at Newmarket, beaten five lengths off the same mark behind Like a Tiger. I thought one or two of these... didn't look particularly well handicapped. It's a disappointingly small field. It tends to get a big field, this contest. I thought Dash O'Lenny had looked promising. It was a wee bit disappointing last time out. I thought Mademoiselle Chanel, I think that's how we'll call that, was poorly handicapped on what she's achieved. And while I didn't mind Westerton's form at Doncaster on his reappearance on handicap debut when he was second, again, he was beaten five lengths. Didn't think he looked the easiest of rides that day either. So I thought Shabazz, who's proven on soft ground, second at Nottingham on heavy in a nursery and then won a nursery on soft ground at Newmarket at the end of the season. He still seems to be going the right way, as you would expect by a three-year-old who's by Free Eagle out of a Dalakani mare. So he should keep progressing. A good test of the trip will suit him as well. And I thought he was the one to beat.
I'm putting you down for a selection. That was a case well made, whether you like it or not. Ruby, we obviously are pre-dex on Sunday. It's a really good card at Killarney. It's the first day of their three-day May meeting. They've got the Killarney National, amongst other races. Willie's got a few entered.
He's a pile in. The 255 is the easy, clean tourist attraction mayor's hurdle. Look, Anna Bunia at a rating of 142 and Party Central the same. They only have to give £7 to some of the novices. Three to Nakini, who only has a rating of 128. And then seven to Night and Day, who's only has 11 stone to carry. But I think both Night and Day and Nakini will have to go a bit to get up to the level of Party Central or Anna Bunia if they're all declared. Mm-hmm. I thought in the 3:25, which is the Icer Tavern handicap hurdle, the good handicap hurdle in Killarney on Sunday, plenty of horses with interest in there. Obviously, Purple Mountain is now with the Shark Handling. The one that caught my eye was one that I had followed at Punchestown. Obviously, By Your Side will be a fancy one for most people, but By Your Side doesn't like to be in front jumping the last hurdle, has been in front a few times jumping the last and got made a mistake and got beaten. He was left till it jumped the last, that punched down by Danny Gilligan, and didn't quite catch Broomfield Bijou. But the last hurdle in Killarney is very close to the winning post, so tactics will be very hard and by your side there. And Shaco and Vanzetti, I thought, dropping back in Trip with the Punchestown run under his belt would be a big price and could run well for John Queeley. That's in the 3.25. A 3.55, providing Willie runs, Sal Dier, I thought at 2 miles and seven, he should be well capable of winning that race. At 4.25, you have the Mayor's Beginner's Chase. Willie has a couple in here, Ava Grace and Hoturier, but I thought both would have to put their best foot forward to beat Rosie's Hollow. If she turns up, I think she's a little has the potential to be a better mare than both the Willies. And at 4.55, then you've got that Killarney National. Ramelais tops the weights. On Baton hasn't ran in over a year. But I'd say he's, look, 141 is a stiff mark, but 3.25 miles, first time up in a competitive handicap chase, might be the undoing of him. But he's a fairish horse. The Gallaty Man is what he is. He's a rating of 129, and he finds it difficult to win. And Ponte Val seems to have lost her way a little bit. She's down near the bottom, number 13 before declarations, but she would have to have improved on what she's done of late. And Willie has plenty in the bumper, and a couple of them are actually a home-owned or home, probably home-bred. They're in Jackie's colours. They are King Peak, who's the Mount Nelson out of Six Hills. I think a lot of that family have won bumpers first time up, so keep an eye on King Peak. My Great Mate is out of Saint Esprit by Jukebox Jury and goes well as well. Now, which one is going to run? There's 36 in and we have ballots, so it's going to be hard to know, but definitely King Peak, the Six Hills family, have a good record in bumpers, I think, first time, as I click into her to see what's in our family. Yeah, Blackstairs Mountain, Mount Leinster, Allure of Illusion, and then you've got Imperial Hills, Fuji Mountain, Diamond Hill. I think a lot of that family all won first time up.
Keep an eye out for if she runs, is it she or he?
King Peak is a gelding by Mount Nelson.
Gelding, okay. So if he runs King Peak this weekend or whenever he runs, maybe one to catch first time out. They're always big prices, those one horses in bumpers first time out. Right, lads, thank you very much. Thanks very much for your spin through the weekend. Again, apologies, we still have no entries for Linkfield, so we can't do anything about it. But what we can do is get your naps of the weekend, please. A preference for Saturday, lads, if possible, but you know, I don't want to force you on it.
Rory, I'm definitely going Friday now. Racing begs rider for me.
You're so bloody contrary. Like, why are you definitely on Friday? Because I asked one on Saturday.
I had nap written down since about 3 hours ago, so just because you want one on Saturday is not changing my opinion.
Some preference. Thanks for helping, Ruby. Racing Breaks rider for Ruby. That is in the, which race on Saturday? On Friday?
150 at Ascot on Friday.
150 at Ascot, thank you. Rory?
I'm going to go with High Fibre in the 130 at Ascot on Saturday.
Thank you,
I was tempted by Perotto, but hopefully we get a reasonable price about High Fibre.
Tissue of around 6-1. That'd be okay?
That'd be all right. That'd be very all right, I think, yeah.
Very all right. And much like a High Fibre breakfast, no better than that. Right, very gentlemen.
All right. Very all right mean really good.
I don't really know. It just means it means extra medium.
Very all right.
That means really good.
Yeah. I often have poor English, but very all right is definitely not great.
It's just middling. Soft and middling. Lads, have a fabulous weekend. We'll be back next week. We've got York Stanty meeting to look ahead to. Crikey. So we're going to have some, yes, exactly. Crikey indeed. So we're going to have some, hopefully some midweek pods. I will let you know on Twitter or otherwise, but if they land, they land. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone. And don't forget Paddy's Pick 5 races, 50 grand. Best of luck.